Hi everyone, welcome. You're with Brad and Megan tonight, the Sunday weekly warm-up show, streaming exclusively in the Teach Better private Facebook group. Wherever you're joining us from, make sure you say hello in the comments. We'd love to know where you are, what you're up to this evening, and what you're looking forward to this week, whatever your important role in education might be. The goal of the show is to get you ready for a great week ahead. Hope you're looking forward to getting to know Megan Polkey tonight. And we have lots to go over. We've got an incredible recap of the Teach Better 12-Hour Live. We've got our Sunday Sparks. Don't go away. All the fun is coming right up. Teach Better family, welcome to the Sunday weekly warm-up, streaming exclusively in our Teach Better private Facebook group. Tonight I have a co-host with the most on the Lake Michigan coast. Welcome in Megan Polkey. How are you, Megan?
Good, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm delighted to co-host the show with tonight. Our other co-host with the most, Ray Hewitt, is recovering from what I believe is just one too many snacks. I'm not sure whether they were cheese crunchies or gummy bears, whatever it was. There was a lot of celebrating to be done among the Teach Better team last night, celebrating our 12-hour live, 12 hours of free professional learning. I know, Megan, you were an active part in that. We're going to dig into that tonight. And I would like to say hello to everyone who's watching and listening live. And we'd encourage you to let us know where you are, what you're up to, who you are, what's your name. Hit us up in the comments. We want to give you a shout out, let you know that we're along for the ride with you. And Megan, for those who don't yet know you, let us know, what would you like the world to know about Megan Polkey?
So I'm a new member of the team. I'm a training and development specialist here at Teach Better, as well as a seventh grade special education teacher in Plano, Illinois.
Where is Plano?
Plano is, I still consider it Chicagoland suburbs, yep. But it's definitely a little west and some cornfields and a phenomenal place to teach.
Tell me a little bit about the school community. How many students are there? How many faculty members? What's the school like?
So Plano, Illinois is a town of 10,000 people. It is a loud and proud small town that is decorated in community spirit, as well as our district has so much school spirit. If you were to ever come into a district meeting, you would see a sea of purple because we really do love our town, our community, and our students. My school is 7th and 8th, so we have about 400 students, and I want to say maybe 30 to 40 staff faculty members, and I have a phenomenal principal, Mark Heller. I know he's participated in the community quite a bit. He is an amazing administrator.
What do you love most about teaching middle school?
Oh my gosh, they are strange little humans in the best possible way. They are funny and sweet and have no filter and random and ridiculous and just such a good time.
I think being a middle school educator really means being open and vulnerable and sharing yourself and just being real with the kids that you serve. I had the opportunity to teach 7th and 8th grade visual arts, French, music, as well as special education, as well as the opportunity to be a vice principal at a middle school serving 7th and 8th graders, and just loved it. Just loved the community. And there's something really special about a 7th and 8th grade school community. What is it that makes your particular community special in terms of the interests, the values? What really makes your school community tick, Megan?
We just have the best students. I know within the last few years, we had Ames, which they are a middle level organization. They came out and did a site visit of our school. And one piece of feedback that we got was, even though we had a group of educators coming in to observe our building, students all day long just said hi and smiled. Like, we have really friendly, personable kids that want to do well, want to succeed, and want to share their community and their school with others.
I want to dig into a couple of aspects of your role. One is your teaching role, and the second is your new role with us on the Teach Better team. So what does your special education role look like in your middle school? Is it, do you push in? Do you withdraw students into small groups? Tell us a little bit about maybe a typical day or a typical week as a special education teacher in Plano.
So I think my social worker said it best. I really need roller skates because I kind of run up and down our seventh grade hallway. I have the privilege of having just like a typical middle school advisory. And then I run to a co-taught language arts class. So I push in with a phenomenal language arts teacher. Shout out to Michelle Long.
Right on.
Then I run back to my classroom. I have a self-contained small group math class for the first time in a while that I'm working on implementing the grid framework in my class. And shout out to the Teach Better grid cohort because I'm working on some of those modified grids as well.
Wow.
And then I run to an intervention period, which is like a traditional resource where I have working on IEP goals with my caseload students. And then I have middle time where I have some prep and some team time with my interdisciplinary team, Go Seven Purple. And then I end my day in a co-taught math class with Kathleen Kunzman. She is the one that introduced me to the grid and Teach Better. And we grid in our co-taught math class as well.
Megan, the idea of you partnering in classrooms, pushing in, really helps to grow not only your collegiality and your teaching practice, but it also, I hope, gives your students a sense that you are working as a valued team member and someone who is a welcome addition to a classroom rather than someone who could unintentionally make kids feel centered out or set apart. What do you think?
Co-teaching is my jam. I love it so much. Like I'm definitely such a proud special education teacher, but as far as my co-taught classes are, like I am just another teacher in the room to serve all students no matter what. And again, shout out to my kids. I feel like they are so amazing at not giving me a stigma of a special ed teacher or a helper teacher or an aide. They just see me as another teacher and I'm able to serve all kids. And all kids are able to help me learn and grow as an educator as well.
What has being a special education teacher taught you or helped you to maybe discover about what it takes to try to work for true community belonging for each and every student?
All kids are different, right? And I think we need to celebrate those differences, but then also make sure that we're celebrating and differentiating for all of our kids so they can be successful and achieve everything they want. I mean, not to totally like jump the gun with our conversation with 12 Hour Live.
Yeah.
But I felt like we had so many guests that really just talked about differentiation and building relationships and making sure that all kids excel and dream big and achieve all the things they want. Zandra Jo Galvin was amazing at celebrating her kids, but like making sure that like I support my kids, but also push and challenge them through that productive struggle so they too can achieve whatever it is they want high school and beyond.
Megan, it sounds like your school and your colleagues really have a sense of shared ownership and shared pride in caring for and looking after the needs of every child in the school. As a classroom educator, maybe there's a sense that you have a stronger affinity with an individual or with the kids in your class, but it sounds like your team really reaches out and spreads your influence throughout the school.
All kids every day. And you will, no matter who you talk to, whether it's administration, office staff, or teachers, or paraprofessionals who are amazing, we meet kids where they're at. And we meet all kids where they're at every day. And that could look different for each and individual kid or classroom or grade level or team, but making sure that we serve our kids.
You mentioned the grid method. And I'm wondering how long you've been a grid method educator. And I'm also wondering how you navigate the grid method along with your colleagues as someone who pushes into or team teaches throughout the day.
So it's so funny. My principal and my math co-teacher went to a good training and I didn't. And over the summer, my co-teacher and I were just planning to see how we wanted to start the school year. And Kathleen was like, yeah, so I went to this awesome training. It's grid method. And I want to start it in my classes, but I'm not sure if I want to start it with all my sections. So we could consider using it for our co-taught, but we don't have to. And then she just started describing the grid method. And I was like, differentiation, self-paced, mastery learning, check, 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 of course. So I jumped in with her. We figured it out together. I know she had made grids during the training. And just I'm super fortunate that both my co-teachers are amazing. Kathleen and I really do a lot of proactive communication in terms of management of the grid and content and making sure that we're on the same page and we're sharing instruction. So it was really nice. I just felt like the grid and co-teaching were a perfect marriage.
Megan, can you talk a little bit more too about how the grid and special education in terms of differentiation, maybe accommodation or modification of key learning, how is that a powerful tool?
Well, and it's awesome too, because I know we're talking about my students with IEPs, but I feel like GRID is just a universal design for learning for all kids, right?
Okay.
So when I write an IEP, of course, for students, a lot of common accommodations I'm writing are like extended time, multiple checks for understanding, reteaching, and those are all things that we're just naturally doing within the grid. So it's cool because not only do my kids with IEPs get it, but our entire class does, and our entire class benefits from all the things.
Let's talk a little bit about your new role as a training and development specialist with Teach Better, with a special focus on grid method training for schools and faculties. In fact, you and Ray Hewitt recently participated in a training. I think it was your first out trip for Teach Better. Tell us how it went, and what did you learn, and what did you love about it?
So we were at the legendary Brother Ice High School. It's a Catholic high school in the Chicagoland area. So it was amazing to just be even in a legendary school with such a great staff. Ray and I worked on active learning and just really talking through trying to embed more formative checks for understanding and movement and collaboration in your class to ensure students are engaged during your entire lesson.
Now, with the GRID method, there is a lot to unpack. I mean, once you get the foundation, the fundamentals, there's a lot that educators who are new to the GRID method, and maybe the faculty that you were serving at the high school was new. But what do you have to be mindful of as a presenter, bringing a lot of valuable, but a lot of, I guess, really rich or detailed information to newbies?
So I think it's just so important. And I know we do this as educators all the time with students, but also even with adult learners, to just be responsive to your demographics and the adults that are in front of you. I know Ray and I we were totally prepared with a bunch of slides, but there were a handful of times where her and I checked in with each other and it was like, let's do this. Maybe we'll change that. I definitely didn't think we could do this, but maybe they're ready to talk a little bit of the progress monitoring sheet and talk about self-paced a little bit, even though they may not necessarily be doing GRID currently. So it was really nice to take that like responsive differentiation that I live and breathe every day in a middle school and take that out into professional development with teachers.
I love that connection, Megan. And some of the most powerful professional learning I participated in, but also as a presenter and a provider myself, strive to not only provide your audience and provide your community with what they need with that new learning, but being responsive and being willing, especially if you're working with a colleague like Ray or a co-presenter, being able to shift or dig deeper or circle back just to make sure that the presentation and the learning is a conversation between you and the learners, whether they're 3 or 13 or 33, no matter what, it's a conversation between you and the learners. And so you're shaping that learning together. Sounds like you and Ray had an awesome time.
Well, and Ray is such a dynamic speaker too. So it was really cool to not only present alongside her, but then learn from her as well in terms of like how she models so much of that engagement within her professional development as well. So I hope to strive to do the same thing.
Oh, you're not just striving to do it, you're hitting it out of the park. And what's coming up next for you in terms of your role? A new training session is coming up, and how are you navigating that with your full-time work as an educator?
So I'm really fortunate that I've been in my building so long that I have such a great supportive team that throughout the day, I am super intentional about co-planning with my team, my co-teachers, my paraprofessional, so that when the work day is over, I feel like I'm in a good place. Middle school will always be my priority and take precedence, especially with my students. But then by the time I do come home, that I'm really able to close the door on school and open the door on Teach Better, and really focus on how I can be an active team member. Ray and I are collaborating on a co-teaching course that could hopefully coming to the Academy soon, as well as I'm also participating in the Teach Better Ambassadors with Andrea. So we have active professional developments and hangouts, and then participating with Katie and Ray on our Teach Better GRID method cohort, which has been phenomenal because as much as I want to be a team member, I also want to take all the things that I'm learning in the with the team and be able to do that in my middle school. So as much as my worlds are kind of separate, they are totally enmeshed at the same time.
It's incredible that there's such synergy between what you're offering and in your current role in your school building, but also what you're offering. And it's such a connective and an ongoing process of professional learning, but also personal connection for us as team members. It's just wonderful. And I want to give a shout out to Hannah Curran, who's in our audience tonight, good friend of our Teach Better family. And Hannah is reminding us that you've got an awesome blog series as well, Megan. Tell us more about the blog series.
Yeah, so I need to continue blogging more, but I have at least 3 or 4 blogs that are co-teach better that just talk about building that foundational relationship with your co-teacher, because before you can truly seamlessly co-plan, co-teach, co-assess, you need to have a good foundation, whether that's knowing your co-teacher as a human and knowing your co-teacher as a teacher. That way you guys can start sharing practices and really build that trust and respect.
I think that is really such a worthwhile topic to dive into for any educators, especially if you're co-teaching. The collegiality and the opportunity to learn with one another, it's something that maybe not all of our faculties of education are really equipping our recent graduates with, or just it's something you learn through practice, but it's crucial in terms of that relationship, especially in the co-teaching model.
And my co-taught math class, we actually have a student teacher in, and her and I have been making sure that she gets the opportunity to co-teach. And she's told me multiple times, like, be you. Like, I want you to be you. Like, jump in, teach, help me pause. And it's been phenomenal, not only getting to work with her as an educator, because in my mind, she is an educator. Shout out to Jennifer Lopez. She's a rock star.
Yeah.
But I also want to make sure that she has that experience. So when she, if and when she does co-teach in the profession, she's ready for it. And I also strive to really model what best practice looks like. That way she has an expectation of, here's how I build that relationship. Here's how I build share instruction. Here's how I want to co-plan with someone so we understand what we're both doing. So that's been a unique opportunity in itself. And she's amazing.
You know, as a school principal, I strongly encourage all of our staff members to say yes to being an associate teacher, to hosting student teachers. I think that the opportunity there to really reflect on why we do what we do and to have both a critical, but also a learning stance in terms of articulating why we do what we do, but also openness to learning from someone who is new to the profession. What are you learning in your work with a pre-service teacher right now, Megan?
I love her style of teaching. It's just so different. Like I'm used to like the desk and a doc cam and we take notes, and she has an iPad and she's walking around and she's super active and moving during that instruction process. So it's been really cool to like share instruction with her, since it's a little different than what I'm used to like pick up the iPad and go along with her flow. She's also super engaging and super responsive to students. So finding new ways to connect in the way that she's connecting. She is an educator that grew up in our community, which is super cool too, because I feel like she's got such a unique lens to our kids, and building relationships with our kids have been completely seamless.
Hey, Megan, a quick question. Do you sleep? I mean, you are doing all of the things in your school building, all of the things as a new Teach Better member. You obviously have a rich and very connected life inside and outside of school. But do you sleep? And what things just bring you personal pleasure in your life?
Oh, I do. And that was something I really appreciated during 12 Hour Live. I felt like there were multiple sessions between EPEC and Ray. And then I know Joshua Stamper with Todd and His Lonely and Tyler Clark of just in servant leadership. Not only are we making sure that we're serving others, but we're serving ourselves. So I try to be super intentional about filling my own cup and making sure that I'm taking time to rest and recharge. So I try to be super intentional with that. A lot of that looks like just time with my husband and my dog. We really love cards and TV. I watch all the things like the dramas, the true crime, reality TV. We have a whole closet of like cards and games. Yesterday during 12 Hour Live, I was totally engaged in the learning, But there might have been an like a 2-hour window where we were just outside with friends and the dogs, and even our dog has friends. Just, it's been unseasonably warm here in Chicago, so totally have to take advantage.
You know, I know that our friend and colleague Ray Hewitt was actually taking advantage of the same thing. You know, a stretch break, fresh air, sunshine, and the dogs, and it's what makes our relationships are really what makes life worth living. And relationships are so protective, they're so restorative and connective. And but with 12 hours of connecting with incredible educators, Megan, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back for our Sunday strategy section. And Megan, I'm going to ask you to reflect on that 12 hours of professional learning, and maybe what maybe your top three takeaways or strategies that will help educators face their coming week with optimism and energy. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, welcome back. You're hanging with Brad Hughes and Megan Polke in the Sunday weekly warm-up space, streaming exclusively in the Teach Better private Facebook group. And Megan, as you may know, sometime tomorrow, around 24 hours from now, this recording is going to be available later. So whether you're joining us live or later, make sure you hit us up in the comments. Let us know what's coming to mind for you. Let us know how excited you are to get to know Megan, an incredible educator, an incredible Teach Better family member and an incredible colleague. And Megan, you and I had the amazing opportunity to participate actively yesterday in the Teach Better 12-hour live. 12 hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. I guess that's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central, where you are in Plano. And an incredible opportunity to listen, learn, but most importantly, engage with top educators from around the country, really digging into the issues and the things that educators want to learn about. So Megan, I'm wondering, talking about Sunday strategies, 12 hours of strategies, can you and I talk and sort of narrow it down on maybe our top few takeaways that really resonated with you and encourage people to dig back into those recordings?
I think one of the first ones was just championing our kids. Like, I know February, March is a time where we're starting to kind of slowly crawl out of winter, and it can be really easy for stress and burnout to set in. So I really appreciated all of the messages to make sure that, like, put yourself first, make sure you recharge, make sure you check your energy, whether that's how you walk into the building, or even I loved your session with Joshua, the language of behavior too. Even if you're dealing with escalated behaviors, checking yourself to make sure that you can share the calm and co-regulate versus being escalated yourself.
Yeah, putting ourselves first as educators is often very, very hard to do. And I think it's also hard to do for especially anyone who is in any kind of a service profession. We learn and we're expected to put others first. And we also recognize that old adage, we can't pour from an empty cup. And I think there may be many, many empty cup educators who are just looking ahead to this week, a Sunday night, another busy week, another demanding week ahead, another week where the plate seems full to overflowing. And not only is the plate full, the plate keeps growing and the plate keeps getting added to. So, you know, Megan, do you have any particular strategies that work for you in terms of, just pausing and taking time for yourself or setting back, like whatever it is, how do you keep your plate from overflowing?
I like to, even in the mornings, just like make sure that I start with the right mindset, that I am awake, I have energy, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling happy and ready to walk into the day. And I apologize to my coworkers. Sometimes that means pulling into the parking lot with blasting music of just good vibes, so I feel good to start the day off right. That also means too, just making sure that, like, I set aside at least 2 hours of night of just TV, unwind, some quality time with my husband, and a good night's rest. And my middle schoolers will make fun of me, 9 o'clock bedtime over here.
are you able during the school day to find that those relationships with your middle schoolers help boost your energy? Or do you find your energy kind of going up and down like a roller coaster? Or like, what is connective and restorative for you about those student relationships?
So it depends on the day. And I'll be honest, I've totally experienced both. And sometimes that means even I think everyone that I work with, including my co-teachers, are really good about this, of checking not only our energy, but also the students. And sometimes that means we're going to pause and totally change it up. And maybe we're going to deliver some content tomorrow because today we just need to relax or have fun. So it's just really checking myself and checking our kids in the moment of, is it time? Can we push this? And if we can't, that's okay. And then just being intentional about our plans moving forward so that everybody is in the right mindset and has that energy when we are able to tackle on new content or tough concepts.
You know, I think that was one of the common threads that was woven throughout all of our 12-hour live sessions, was the importance of relationships as foundational to our success as educators, and connecting with colleagues, connecting with kids, knowing our kids intimately enough to be able to make minor and moment-to-moment adjustments to meet their needs. And yeah, I was thinking about how that thread of connection was woven through. Did that come up for you? And was there another session that really was impactful for you?
Oh my gosh, Nicole Marty was phenomenal. Yeah. I feel like we were promised new faces this 12-hour live, and boy, did they deliver. Like, I want to be a student in her class. I want to be a colleague at her school. She just seems so dynamic. Like, she's building relationships. She's super engaging. She's super responsive. She differentiates. Like, she even was talking about how if she knows she has a lesson where instruction may not be as engaging as she'd like, she's still trying to figure out ways to make them as dynamic and fun as possible. So, I mean, if you have not followed her yet since 12-hour live, please find her on Instagram. She's amazing and has so many cool ideas for like lab demos and instruction. Check her out.
That session really reminded me of her commitment and recognizing the influence that she has as an educator to make that difference, that key difference to each and every kid with whom she interacts. And Xander Jo Galvin as well. She also had phenomenal. Let's get into that. Talking about empowering and energizing student voice, what were your takeaways from Xander Jo's presentation?
Her community, like, you could just tell how much she loves and respects her community and her students. I like all the quotes that she was saying. I like was trying to keep up of like, don't keep your greatness a secret, and making opportunities for students, and like allowing her kids to dream big. And as an administrator, making the capacity to provide those opportunities for her students. I mean, I would love to be an educator to her district as well, but I love Plano. I love Plano. Yeah. But I mean, like, she was just so dynamic.
Something that I think really distinguishes Xandra, as well as our colleague, Josh Stamper, in our discussion about the language of behavior was, you know, Xandra Jo is a school superintendent, and so she has overarching responsibilities for any number of school leaders and school buildings, and so her responsibilities are myriad, but she really takes personal responsibility to set the tone, to model those desired behaviors for connection, for belief in students, and high expectations for student outcomes, but also high expectations for the relationships and the connectivity in her schools. Joshua Stamper, likewise, we were talking about his relationship walks. And we, you know, if we have school leaders and if we have educators that are walking that talk and they're modeling that connection, it can be so powerful. Do you see that in your daily work as well?
Like, I'm just going to continue to brag about the staff at our middle school.
Yeah.
Every staff member in our building takes responsibility for her kids. We have like our custodian, like he talks to our kids, engages in with our kids. There'll be times where myself and a handful of teachers will take our kids into the gym sometimes as an incentive. Our custodian will come right in and grab a basketball and start talking to kids. I believe he also runs one of our fishing clubs. Same with like one of our building subs. He also runs a club. Our secretaries are talking to our kids. It's a small community. So like, we remember families, we remember siblings, we remember names, like everybody in that building is responsible for children. And it's amazing of just the different relationships and the leadership you see within our staff, because like everyone in the building is a leader and has connections to students.
You know, 12 Hour Live kicked off with our friend and colleague, Breanne Fennell, as well as Katie Miglin. And they were digging into top 10 picture books. What really resonated with me, and I'd like to get your take as a middle school educator, is the connective power of reading aloud to a group within your community to make those connections, to share new perspectives. And I'm wondering if there was an aspect of that session or with your work with your middle school educators where you have those opportunities to read aloud to or with, how do you leverage picture books in your setting?
Oh yeah. So they're amazing, right? Like just like Bree said, especially like at social emotional lessons or different things about like growth mindset and perseverance. Those are great like introductions to like deeper growth mindset and deeper content work, which is amazing. And to me, picture books are like stickers. I don't care what age a student is. They love them and love to be read aloud to. And I know our librarian does a phenomenal lesson too, where like one day she brings all the picture books and the kids just get the opportunity to pick what they want read. And she, like, we just enjoy an old school read aloud. And then I know my middle school is gearing up to, we're going to do it again in about a month. We have an elementary school that's like two blocks away from our school. So we will be taking some picture books to the second and third graders and give our seventh graders a service learning opportunity to read picture books to the little ones. And then the little ones will read to them as well.
That's incredible. At my school, we just celebrated a week of reading, a reading week, where different aspects of reading were celebrated. We had a name the book contest. We had community guests coming in to read. We had a family read in, and a shout out to our teachers and educators for not only promoting the reading week, but also for modeling the love of reading throughout everything that we do. And that just, again, that modeling that love for learning was throughout our 12-hour live. And Megan, I'm wondering if there's any other takeaways or any other sessions that really resonated with you, that either sparked your curiosity or touched your heart.
I loved all the AI sessions. Like I am curious. I'm still kind of dipping my toe in the water of playing around with like ChatGPT and different and Magic School. And it was so cool to hear Sarah Thomas talk with Jeff, as well as I know like Chad and Ray had a whole session of not be scared. It's an amazing thought partner. Let's start dipping our toes in the water. So as things with AI progress, we're ahead of where we're going and ready for where we're going versus being behind. And it was just so cool, not only with the sessions, but then to see our community in the comments with like all these resources, all these ideas. There is so much to chew on and learn, and I'm pumped.
That is really worth mentioning is when those recordings are, because those recordings are available, whether it's Facebook, our Teach Better YouTube channel, dig into the comments, not only for the content, but also for, you know, building your professional learning community, right? Connecting with like-minded educators who are curious, who want to learn more, to do more, and just to do better. Lots of new faces, but lots of familiar faces as well. And of course, the trademark Teach Better shenanigans. Any of the shenanigans come to mind now? I'm still laughing about the Hot Mess Express, Katie and Ray just kicking off their session with lots of fun and just being real. I just love it. What do you think, Megan?
And I know Remy was in the comments. He's amazing. Yep. He's also in our Grid Method cohort. And just like, it was so nice to have a perfect balance of like learning some deep content, but then just like shenanigans of people going back and forth. I think like, I was like the Chad Ostrovsky, and I don't think he's met Chad yet. So he was like, Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot in the house? Like I like always heard of, but like never seen. And like, he had me cracking up the entire time. And then like the team is always hysterical too, which is awesome.
Incredible day, 12 hours of free professional learning. And as we mentioned, all of that learning is and will be available on our Teach Better YouTube channel. Check out teachbetter.com for more details. Subscribe wherever you listen. All of this content is going to be available for you to review and dig into those segments. And maybe if you're an educator or if you're a professional learning coordinator or a school leader, dig into those sessions and see which tidbits you can bring forward to your buildings, to your classrooms, to bring that learning to life Megan, great to dive into the recap with you. And we're going to take a break and we're going to come back with our Sunday Spark to spark some conversation and spark some inspiration for the week ahead. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're with Brad Hughes and Megan Polke in the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up Space, streaming exclusively in the Teach Better private Facebook group, and then available later wherever you consume social media. That's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, LinkedIn. Our YouTube channel is worth a visit. Like and subscribe, and just tons of free professional learning resources available there, as well as over at teachbetter.com. And Megan, this is our opportunity to celebrate and take a look at a Sunday spark, something to spark a conversation, something to spark inspiration for the week ahead, maybe something you want to talk about at the water cooler or share with your kids for a community meeting. And what I have selected here is from a website called Reasons to be Cheerful. And this comes from my new favorite app and web app. It's called Goodable. So Goodable serves you up a number of different stories every week that are designed to help connect you with good news, with good works, good people doing great things in the world. And this one, of course, I can never resist a school story. This one is titled "The School Day When No One Eats Alone." A national movement is working to change social isolation, especially at lunchtime. No One Eats Alone Beyond Differences was established by the parent of a child who was born with Apert syndrome, a rare genetic condition that made this child look different and contributed to her feeling invisible and left out at school. Unfortunately, after her daughter passed away from medical complications, the mom created Beyond Differences, a nonprofit that focuses on raising awareness about social isolation in youth and providing solutions. And right now, this program has grown to reach over 1 million students in all 50 states. And Megan, on February 16th of this year, 2,500 schools participated in No One Eats Alone Day, a day of action created by Beyond Differences that encourages 5th through 8th graders to mingle, make new friends, and become more aware and proactive about social isolation, especially at lunch. I'd like us to think about our lunchrooms and our cafeterias and take a critical look at how we can help kids be and stay more connected with each other. And Megan, what's coming to mind for you about that Sunday Spark story?
Oh, I just thought of a funny story that happened not only a week ago. So mid-class, I had a student who was writing like this list of food on his whiteboard desk. And I was like, what are you doing? Aren't we supposed to be working on inequalities? And he was like, no, Mrs. Polke, we're gonna have a feast. Like, do you wanna come to our feast? And so the list on his desk was a student and just like all of the things that like his entire table was going to bring and share. And since he invited me, like I had to go. So I made sure I scooped into my candy stash and brought some Jolly Ranchers and just hung out with the kids for 5 or 10 minutes during lunch. It was amazing.
You know, those moments when we as educators can really give our full attention to kids being kids, whether it's in the lunchroom or whether it's on the yards or whether it's connecting before and after school or on the drop-off line or in bus duty, you know, those moments of connection, you never know where that moment of connection might make a significant difference to a kid who is really craving that attention and connection.
And I encourage you, if you've never hung out in the lunchroom with some of your students, absolutely do it. And I would also help challenge our community to consider like middle school, high schoolers, even if they're 17, 18, like they are kids, right? And so enjoying them as kids and making those connections.
Connection is key. That's been the thread and that's been the foundation of our conversation. And I'm loving our vibe here, Megan. I would be delighted to reconnect with you here in the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up Space. I'm so excited to have you as a colleague, a growing friendship, as well as a Teach Better colleague. For those that would like to know more about you and to stay in touch, what are some of the ways that they can do that?
So I'm on Facebook. If you are connected to the Teach Better Facebook, I am all over that page in the comments. Woo-hoo! find me on X, Twitter. I'm at Megan Pulkey. And I'm on Instagram, but I need to for sure be more active. So please find me on all the things. I would love to connect.
Megan, this has been a fantastic conversation. And this is going to be part of our Teach Better Talk podcast as well. So whether you're joining us live tonight or later on, Megan and I are so grateful that you did so. Please make sure that you tune in each and every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central for the Sunday weekly warm-up, a way to give you that needed boost, no matter what your important role in education might be. As well, don't forget to tune in 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 Central for Teach Better Today show. Every day we feature different educators, talk and shop, but also a fair dose of shenanigans every day too. So make sure you're partnering your coffee, your orange juice, and your cereal with a dose of Teach Better every day. Megan, thanks for coming into the space tonight. I look forward to reconnecting with you really soon.
Brad, it was so much fun to hang out with you tonight. I'm glad we finally got to do it.
It's been a long time coming, and I know it's not going to be the last time, Megan. Have a wonderful week ahead, everybody. And both of you, wish you a wonderful week of teaching better.
Bye, friends.